So on the order of service that Brother Jeff prints out, he inadvertently deleted the message tonight. So he and Pastor Micah were telling me that that was because I went too long this morning. So that was my punishment. In fact, I mentioned to someone about the text for this evening, and they said, are you really going to preach a sermon? And I said, well, of course I'm going to preach a sermon. But I will approach this kind of like we do with weddings, given the specialness of this evening. And normally at a wedding, you're preaching a sermon with the bridal party all standing. So, you know, you try to manage your time. I have heard a couple of sermon messages that approached an hour. Thankfully, I've never done that. Okay, so tonight, I just want to highlight some things really in the context of Rich and Linda. So tonight, this is, in one sense, our normal Sunday evening worship time. But we're also here really to rejoice in light of Rich and Linda's 50 years of marriage. And those of you who are here regularly, you know that I remind us that a church is a family. And families do things like celebrate anniversaries. And families get together and rejoice with one another and encourage one another. So that's what we want to do this evening. There are two psalms that, to me, kind of paint a picture of the progression of family life for God's people. They're found among the Psalms of Ascent. They are one right after another, and I don't think that's a coincidence because really they do go together. And some of you have probably already surmised I'm talking about Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. So let me ask you to turn there in your Bibles, if you would, please. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. If you need a Bible this evening, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you, and you can find Psalm 127 on page 917. Now, these psalms, there's a lot compressed into really a very short span of words here, and we're just going to kind of do an overview really with in the context of the unfolding of family life, the unfolding of married life. The first two Father's Days that I was here, I preached on these two psalms, one year, one the next year. So if you'd like a little bit more exhaustive exposition, those things I think are on our website back in 2010 and 2011. But tonight we're just going to kind of think about these psalms in terms of folks who have faithfully walked with God and walked with each other and been heirs of the grace of life together. And that's kind of the approach that I want to take. You know, folks, 50 years is a long time. And I mean that in a good way, okay? I'm 60 now, so, you know, I don't have to get too concerned about offending people when I talk about getting a little bit older because, I'm in that kind of getting a little bit older category myself. But 50 years is a long time, and I say that it's a good thing because really that is a mark of faithfulness and evidence of commitment. You know, and a testimony of a couple that are committed not only to each other, but committed to God's plan for marriage and God's plan for family life. And so really, it is appropriate for us to rejoice and to commend and to celebrate. According to our country's most recent census, only 50% of the people still alive at that time in 2009 when they were taking the data, who had been at that time first married 50 years ago, 50 years before that or longer, only 50% of those were still married to the same person. And if you're at all a culture watcher, you can conclude that probably that number is going to be lower after the next census and lower yet again after the next census, unless God really just adjusts some thinking in our culture, in our country today. But really, it is a commendable thing. It's a glorious thing when people commit themselves to marriage and they say those vows, you know, for as long as we both shall live, till death do us part, and they mean it. And, you know, one of the things that is really just kind of tickles me about Rich and Linda is, you know, some people would view 50 years of marriage as, oh, we endured 50 years of marriage, you know. But if you have spent more than about 2 minutes around Rich and Linda, you know that that is not their view at all. You know, they are excited with each other today. Now, I wasn't there when they first got married. I like the picture, but I wasn't there. But I suspect they're just as excited as they were then. you know, excited in a different way because life changes and things adjust, but excited to be together, excited to be with each other, excited to share life together. So let's read. I'm just going to read through these two psalms first, then we'll just take a few minutes and think about them a little bit. So Psalm 127, and as I read this, I want you to just kind of make note as we read it of the progression, if you will, of married life that you see kind of unfold through the psalm. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, or that attempt to build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Then on to Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. I've entitled this message tonight, God's Blessing Upon a Godly Home. God's Blessing Upon a Godly Home. Father, we are thankful for the instruction that we find in your word. Instruction that challenges us in terms of how we live. Instruction that gives us guidelines for raising children, for relating to one another in marriage. Instruction in terms of how we live for you, how we grow in you. And your word also assures us that there is rich blessing for those who by your grace follow the teaching of your word. And Father, tonight as we look not only at your word, but as we think about it in the context of Rich and Linda's lives, Lord, we're thankful that these are people who have followed your word. Oh, they would say, just as we all would, not perfectly so, but their heart has been to live for you, to raise their children for you, to see their children's children go forth for you. And Father, you have blessed them. You have undertaken for them. You have worked mightily in their midst, and we're thankful for that. And I pray, Father, that as we consider just a few brief thoughts from these psalms, that it would be an encouragement to each of us to allow you to build our homes, to view our children in the manner that your word suggests, and to have families where our united, our shared commitment is to live for the Lord Jesus and by his grace to make a difference for him in the lives of others in this world. So we ask your blessing on these minutes that we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read that, I think, you know, you could kind of see the progression of these psalms. I want to suggest three stages. I'm not generally a big fan of, you know, specific three things, but, you know, you'll get the idea. Three stages of married life, and I'll call the first one the establishment of the home. Those first two verses we read, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And the point is, there are a lot of different views about how to live life, about how to get along in marriage, about how to raise up children, about what the priorities are in life. And if we try to just kind of pursue our own ambitions, our own desires, our own ways of going about it, it's a vain proposition. They labor in vain that seek to raise up a home on the basis of human thinking. But if we let the Lord build the house, if we are trusting Him, if we are looking to Him, if we are following Him, rather than experiencing futility, you know, instead of just relying on ourselves, we will see God do a great work. And I think we've seen that in the Tool home. You know, I'm thankful that God brought Rich and Linda together years ago. And because He did, I have the privilege of being their friend, being their pastor, and just seeing God's hand in their lives. And one of the things that I'm thankful for them is that they were believers from the very start of their marriage. That's not true for all of us, but that's a privilege. And that means that their children never knew a day where mom and dad didn't love the Lord Jesus, and where mom and dad didn't want to encourage them towards the things of God. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful for that. Now, you may be here today, and maybe you were saved much later. Well, praise God, from the moment He saved you on, He's given you the opportunity to do the same thing. But in Rich and Linda's case, really from the very beginning, they were seeking to have the Lord build their home. They were relying on Him to do the work in their midst. And so 50 years have transpired. You know, a lot happens in 50 years. And those years fly by, right? I mean, you guys look at that wedding picture, and you're probably thinking, man, that was like yesterday. You know, I mean, on the one hand, it seems like that was forever ago, but at the same time, that was just like, you know, where did those years go? You know, and you look at your kids here, and it's like, I remember, you know, when Brian, I don't, but you do, when Brian was, you know, whatever. I mean, and I don't know what kind of a young person Brian was, but his sons probably give us a picture of that, maybe. I don't know, okay? But, you know, you say, that was just like yesterday. And now we have another generation raising up a godly seed. A lot transpires. Let me just suggest to you or point out a few of the things that have changed since Rich and Linda tied the knot on September 14th, 1968. In 1968, the United States population was 201 million. Today it's 327 million. The world population was 3.5 billion, less than half of what it is today, 7.6 billion. The president was, we used to call him LBJ, right? Lyndon Baines Johnson. Hubert Humphrey, my senator from the great state of Minnesota, was at that period of time the vice president. Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in April of 1968. Senator Robert Kennedy on June 5th. In 1968, the so-called Tet Offensive began to turn the will of the American people against the Vietnam War. You know, I grew up and everybody always talked about the Vietnam War. You know, children these days think that that is ancient history. But it was just not that long ago. The median cost of a new house in 1968 was $25,400. You know, I don't know what you guys paid for your first house, but, you know, it was a lot less than now where it's more than $300,000. The average rent in those days was $130 a month. Now it's something like $1,200 a month. The median household income was $7,700. Now it's $61,000. The federal minimum wage was $1.60. Now it's $7.25 and more in Illinois and a lot of states. The cost of a gallon of gas, 34 cents. I remember when it was 19 cents during the gas wars, 21 for premium, but 34 cents. The average cost of a new car was $2,800. A loaf of bread, 24 cents. A first-class postage stamp was a nickel. And in January of 1968, they increased it by 20% to 6 cents. Both color TVs and touch-tone phones were relatively new. Some of you young people don't even know what a touch-tone phone really is. I mean, even that, you know, whatever. You know, people talk about 8-track players and cassettes and all of those things are foreign to you. But in 1968, a lot of homes didn't have color TVs, didn't have touch-tone phones. In fact, my grandmother still had a party line on her phone. There was no internet. There were no cell phones. And, you know, we could go through all these different things that have changed. But we all understand that things change, and sometimes really rapidly. And, you know, you think back to how different things were, but, you know, there is one thing that hasn't changed. God's Word hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. You know, the principles that he calls us to live by are the same today as they were when the psalmist wrote these words. The circumstances and the decorations are different, if you will, but the principles and the foundation, that's the same. God's view on the permanence of marriage, that hasn't changed. God's view on what marriage is and what it isn't, that hasn't changed. And I remember Jesus, when they asked him and they were trying to trap him and trip him up about divorce, and Jesus told them, you know what, from the beginning, it was never about divorce. It was about the permanence of marriage. And he says, God created them, man and woman. And he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And he was quoting from Genesis chapter 2. And then Jesus adds these words. He says, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And you know, Rich and Linda have been committed to their marriage. You know, they get along so well, I don't know if they have tough times or not. But if they do, they've decided that it's more important to stick together and to honor God than to allow whatever troubles there may have been or may not have been to ever bring division into their home. Now, that's God's plan, God's principles, God's priority. And if we attempt to establish homes by any other method, if you will, it's just futile. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So the first stage of marriage, if you will, is the establishment of the home. The second, the expansion of the home. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 127. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And in Hebrew poetry, which is what this is, heritage and reward are just kind of synonymous. God gave Rich and Linda children. He gave them Marcy and Brian and Nancy. And you were given to your parents as God's reward and as God's heritage. And the children you have are likewise God's reward and God's heritage. Verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And so God blessed Rich and Linda with a family, with children. And as the three of you could testify to far better than I, they sought to teach you to love God. They led you to trust Him as Savior. They tried to encourage you to follow God. And that passage when it talks about the arrows in the hands of a mighty man, it's through children that our influence for Christ is expanded. You know, and let me illustrate this. I was in the Navy for many years, as some of you know, and in our leadership classes, one of the favorite things that they would put before you was St. Crispin's Day speech at the Battle of Agincourt, spoken by Henry V through the thinking of Shakespeare. You know, and it's an inspiring speech, and you know, they would try to teach us that as leaders, you know, this is kind of the way you have to inspire people. But you know, if you actually study out the Battle of Agincourt, you find out that I'm sure Henry V was inspiring. I'm sure he was. You know, and he was a warrior, and he was a leader of men, to be sure, and that obviously had an effect. But the reason that they won that battle was because of the longbowmen. You know, they were fighting from a little narrow spot at the bottom of a big hill, and the French were not battle-hardened and not prepared, and they're trying to ride their horses down the hill, and it's been rainy and muddy, and their horses are stumbling, and all of the longbowmen, the English longbowmen are lined up down there, and they are trained, and they are battle-hardened. And they take those arrows, and they just shoot them, and they, because of that narrow choke point, you know, that the French can't capitalize on their 5-1 or 6-1 odds, and those longbowmen just knock them down, knock them down, knock them down. That's the kind of imagery here. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. And as you seek to build a home that is focused on the Lord Jesus, and God gives sons and daughters, you know, there's a sense in which that we as parents are to be like those longbowmen, and we prepare those arrows, and we seek to have them be straight, and we try to point them in the right direction, and we draw back the bow, and then there comes a day when we got to release them. And you know, they fly forth and they carry those things that by God's grace we've taught our children and encourage them about. And they use them to make a difference in the lives of others that we would never know. Brian and Marcy and Nancy, you have influenced people as an extension of the home in which you were raised for the cause of Christ. And you are as arrows in the hands of godly people. God calls us as parents to propel our children so that they go forth for Him and so that they can be used by Him. And Rich and Linda's desire was to do just that. So we've talked here about the establishment of the home, the expansion of the home, and lastly, the extension of the home, or really the ideas of God's blessing upon the home. Let's look at Psalm 128 again. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be. It shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. And peace, shalom, upon Israel. But you see in those six verses, the word blessed. Several times you see a reference to good and to peace and to happiness. And folks, when a home is built on the Word of God, when the Lord is the one building the house, there is rich blessing. There is happiness. There may not be riches. There may not be good health. There may not be comfort and ease. But there will be blessing. And there will be happiness. And there will be a joyfulness that transcends the difficulties and the hardships of life. You know, Rich and Linda, picture that joyfulness, that happiness, that contentment in each other, and they do so vividly. And you know, it's no small thing that all three of their children have come from around the country to be here with them. And when a home is built by the Lord, and when there is a focus on the things of God, there is, in principle, God just drawing that family together and bringing a unity and a sense of camaraderie. Now this is, in some sense maybe a little bit proverbial. I mean, God doesn't promise that there will never be any hard times. He doesn't promise that children may not make some poor decisions, pursue a bad direction. But the principle there is, and we see it fleshed out in Rich and Linda's case, that if you have a heart for God and you let God build your home, that there's going to be happiness and there's going to be contentment. And God is going to use those family members to reach others with the gospel. Then, of course, there's the blessing of children's children. And God has blessed Rich and Linda with 14 grandchildren. I'm at number one, but I'm coming for you, Rich, okay? But there is, until you are a grandparent, you can't appreciate. I mean, the Bible says children's children are the crown of old men, right? I gladly wear the label old man, okay? And children's children are the crown of old men. And you have passages like this, and until you experience that, you don't realize the joy that is there. And so for grandchildren that are here tonight, you're a blessing to your grandpa and grandma. You're a joy to their life. And really, that's all flowing from a home that started out focused on God, built on the Word of God, developed by trust and reliance in God's good hand. So I'm thankful for the two of you. You have been an inspiration and an encouragement to me. Churches need godly couples who have been married for a good while to encourage and challenge those who come after them. You know, you may be here and you're not married yet, and you're waiting on God's timing, if you're six, you're going to be waiting a long time for God's timing. But you know, you're waiting. You're looking ahead to that. But look at a couple like Rich and Linda and say, you know what? That's the kind of marriage I want. I want to be married to somebody where we're gonna share the blessings of God together. We're gonna walk with God together. We're gonna follow God together. You know, if you're newly married and you're thinking, wow, 3 years, been a long time, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. You got a lot of years ahead of you. And you look at an example like these dear folks and you say, you know what? There was a time when they were at 3 years. And now look. And I would suggest, and again, I'm not in their home, I don't know this, but pretty sure that their love for each other is stronger now than it was in that nice youthful picture out on the display. Stronger than it was at year 3. Stronger than it was probably at year 42 and 46. Because they've just continued to look to God. And He's strengthening their relationship. Strengthening that family. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. And here's some people to talk to. Get some advice. Get some counsel. I've got a whole raft of jokes. I usually throw one or two of them in every time I do a wedding, you know. Like they ask Henry Ford on his 50th anniversary, you know, what was the secret of his longevity? And he said, it's just like my approach to cars. I stick with one model, okay? You know, but there's, you know, there's just principles of commitment. Simple, straightforward commitment. And sometimes, you need somebody who's been there to say, you know, just stay with the stuff. Look to God. Trust God. You know, let Him do the work in your home. So I'm just excited for Rich and Linda and for your family and glad that we as your church family can share a little bit in the celebration tonight. And the even more exciting stuff is coming up here in about 2 minutes, okay? As they're going to rededicate themselves, recommit to the vows that they made 50 years ago. But I just want to appeal to us again to really cling and hold fast to those opening two verses that accept the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. You know, the answer to any and every successful marriage, fruitful marriage, loving marriage, joyful marriage, the cause, the answer, what is behind that is that God is at the center and God is at work. And they have looked to Him and listened to Him and sought to live in keeping with His instruction manual for marriage and child rearing and everything else. And we all do it with not necessarily perfectly. But if that heart is there, you will experience God's blessing. And Rich and Linda, you surely have. And it would seem that your children are experiencing that blessing as well, and we're excited for you. Our Father, we are thankful that you have ordered human life such that in most cases you bring together a man and a woman that they might be, as Peter says, heirs together of the grace of life. And I'm thankful that that is so true for Rich and Linda. They are heirs together of the grace of this earthly life, of family life. And they have loved one another even as Christ loves His church. Oh, imperfectly, but with that desire, with that burden. And we're thankful, Father, that you have blessed them, that you have undertaken for them. I pray for each of us here who are married. Might we even this night rededicate ourselves to living joyful, God-honoring marriages. And for any who are struggling, or maybe aren't married but would like to be, the answer still is always just to look to you. Let you answer in your time and in your way. Let you undertake. Let you build the house. Lest we do so in the futility of self-reliance. I ask your blessing on these remaining minutes together as we watch as Linda and Rich just recommit to one another as they continue in their marriage. Pray your blessing as we fellowship here a little bit later on. All of this is sweet to you, I believe. might it be encouraging and helpful to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we are going to now just have some time. Rich had wanted to have he and Linda remake their vows to each other, make those promises again. And so we're going to kind of have a little segment, what you would normally see in a typical wedding, and we'll do that in just a minute. Now, when you have a wedding, normally you have the ceremony first, and then the couple opens gifts later. But since they're already married, we're just going to shift that for a little bit here. And we have a gift for Rich and Linda. And this is something that we, as a church, like to do for folks who reach that milestone of 50 years together. And the gift is not always the identical gift, but in a sense, it's always the same gift. Okay, this isn't wrapped, so there's no surprises. Okay, but we have this nice clock for you to remember your time together, your time as part of our church. So let me ask Rich and Linda if you'd come up and join me. You know, just being here tonight is an answer to prayer because we've been praying for Linda's health and just that she would have the strength for tonight. And so I'm going to try and keep this reasonably efficient. And Linda, if you just need to sit down, you just give me the high sign and we'll adjust. But it won't be too long. This says, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Toole, September 14th, 1968. And it's presented by Marquette Manor Baptist Church. Yeah, I have spies that told me this would do really well in your home. So, yeah. But that's for you guys. You bet. And you can just set that down here or wherever you'd like. And then you'll pick it up later and Sandy Prim has the box for you and everything like that. Okay. I've got to grab two more things up here. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay. So I'm going to let you just kind of face folks. I know you don't like to do that. You don't like to be on the spot. But let you face out that way, and we're going to make sure that your son can catch you here in this video. But in Proverbs 5:18, the scripture says that men who are married ought to rejoice with the wife of their youth. And, of course, the context of that passage implies those who have been married for a while. And you know, Linda, I think that Rich's heart is a vibrant example of exactly that statement. In the almost 9 years that I've known him, Rich has always taken obvious delight in you. And everyone knows that he loves being married to you. And we also know that you love being married to him. Now, for those of you who are newer here to Marquette, you may not know this, but every single year, at least since I've been here, okay, and I think this goes back well before that, every single year come September, Rich makes sure that we have a special bulletin announcement, you know, on the Sunday closest to their anniversary. And because we understand that not everybody always reads the bulletin, he's made it clear to me that I'm supposed to announce that as well, okay? So lest there be any doubt, you know, that he is rejoicing in the wife of his youth and celebrating their marriage together. So a while back when Rich came to me and asked about he and Linda reaffirming their vows during this special night. And I'll tell you, Linda, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I wonder if Linda agreed to this. But Rich was so excited about it, you know, and I thought this should come as no surprise. You know, because he delights in their marriage. And this is a special time. And so I'm excited and honored to be a part of this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you, I'm going to come over on this side because I want to make sure that they don't see your back. Okay, I'll stand kind of like this. And we're going to begin tonight by me asking each of you a series of questions. And when I finish, I'll ask you to answer in the way you feel persuaded in your heart. Now, I'm pretty sure that both of you are going to say, I do. Maybe you'll surprise me, but I think that's where we're going to end up. Okay, so we'll start with you, Rich. Rich, 50 years ago, on September 14th, 1968, you pledged to take Linda as your wife. Do you today reaffirm your lifelong covenant of marriage with Linda? Do you promise to love her, to cherish her, to encourage, lead, and protect her for as long as you both shall live? If so, please answer by saying, I do.
I do.
And Linda, 50 years ago, On September 14th, 1968, you pledged to take Rich as your husband. Do you today reaffirm your lifelong covenant of marriage with him? Do you promise to love him, to support him, to encourage, respect, and obey him for as long as you both shall live? If so, please answer by saying, I do. What did I do with that microphone? I'm off my game here. All right. I want everybody to be able to hear your vows. So that's what this is. That's what this is for. Okay, so let me have you, go ahead and you're holding hands there. And before God and these assembled witnesses, please repeat after me your vows, reaffirming the commitment you made to each other 50 years ago. So I'll just give you phrase by phrase. So I, Rich.
I, Rich.
Take you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Are we picking that up? I hope so. As my lawfully wedded wife.
As my lawfully wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for
richer
poorer.
Richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
And thereunto.
And thereunto.
I pledge to you my faithfulness.
I pledge to you my faithfulness.
All right, Linda, would you repeat after me your vows? I, Linda.
I, Linda.
Take you, Rich.
Take you, Rich.
As my lawfully wedded husband.
As my lawfully wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
And thereunto.
And thereunto.
I pledge to you my faithfulness.
I pledge to you my faithfulness.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and just have a prayer of dedication for you. This is what we would normally do in a wedding. So let's bow for prayer together. Father, we are thankful that you have brought Rich and Linda together. We thank you for saving them. And we thank you for giving them a love for one another and a love for you. We thank you for all of the things you have done over these many years in their lives. We thank you for the children that you have given to them. We thank you for your kindness to them in so many ways. We thank you for how you have used them to make a difference in this church and in the lives of other people, and cause people to look to the Lord Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that you have caused them to be heirs together of the grace of life. And I pray, Father, that they would continue to rejoice in each other and to love one another and to laugh together and take delight in each other. We pray that you would do that for however many years, decades, that you see fit to have them together upon this earth. I pray that you would continue to use them and enable them as they seek to live for Jesus and serve him. Lord, would you now bless them and keep them? Would you make your face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them? Would you lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace? I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, normally in a wedding, this is where I would pronounce you husband and wife, but that's kind of anticlimactic 50 years later. So we're just going to skip that and go right to the next part, and that is, Rich, you may kiss your bride. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and joy to present to you Mr. and Mrs. Richard Toole. Amen.